Welcome, welcome. It's so good to see your lovely faces and to be with you this morning. Shall we all stand? Man, I just really feel like the Lord says today that you have a song in your heart. And your song is what releases joy. It releases life and peace into your life. And we're believing today that as we worship and we praise, that man, there are going to be breakthroughs on the other side of praise. There's going to be the presence of God as we worship and as He is with us. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you have written a song on our hearts today, Lord. Father God, that song says we are chosen, we are healed, we are whole, and it's sealed in your name, Lord Jesus. And as we sing and worship unto you, Lord, it's all for your glory, all for your honor, Lord. We praise you. We love you. Our eyes are fixed on you, Lord. The Father of lights. Father God, we thank you for your goodness and your love that surrounds us, Lord. Your goodness that is running after us every day, day after day after day. Father, we rejoice and be glad in you this morning. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church. So we're going to be doing a new song this morning, and I want to see you praising. I want to hear you singing. I want to hear you clapping, because we are serving a good God. Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Let's do this.
Come on. the Lord, oh my soul.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a clap of praise.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
And if you are for me, who can be against me?
For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty.
Yes, you do.
When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. When I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you in every battle. Nothing can stand against the power. Let's declare this.
Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
We can boldly declare your name, Father, that it is the most powerful name, the name above all names, Father God. And we believe that your name is sealed on us today, Lord. Your name is the banner over us this morning, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Out of agreement with the lie that you have left me on my own. Oh, I am not alone. I come out of agreement with the worry and the fear I've come to know. No, they won't have a hold on me.
Protector, you never, never, never let me go. You said you wouldn't leave me and you won't. You're right by my side, Protector.
I come into agreement with the truth that you are who you say you are, and I can trust your heart.
I come into agreement with what heaven has declared over my life, 'cause I know that you fight for me. Protector, you never, never, never let me go. Protector, you never, never, never.
isn't he beautiful? And beautiful, and isn't he the Prince of Peace, the Son of God? Isn't he? Isn't he the Counselor, Almighty God? Isn't he?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your manifested presence here in this place, Lord. Thank you that we can experience you, that we don't just hear about you, but we can actually get to experience you. Thank you, Father, for this time of worship that we've had now, that we can just connect back to you, back to that original picture that you have of us. Lord, that we don't have to feel unworthy this morning. We don't have to feel shame, guilt, condemnation, any of that, Father. We can access boldly, Lord, your throne room of grace. Thank you for mercy and grace, for help, Lord, in our time of need. And we thank you that in you we are sorted out. Father, everything has been done in you. And we can relax in your provision, in your grace, in your multiplied grace this morning. We thank you that you multiply peace and grace this morning as we are together. We just praise you for your life that is in us right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, media team. You all do such a wonderful job, eh? Yeah, it's amazing here at Nisna Vineyard that we are such a team and we do everything in that context and to make everything work and have this service going on a Sunday. It is always amazing to see how the Holy Spirit puts it together and uses people to do it. So it's my privilege to share with you the offering scripture this morning. Was alle Afrikaanse mense, wys gou my hande. Jy sien, daar's baie van julle, né? So ek gaan julle 'n bietjie Afrikaanse skrif lees, as julle reg. Okay, so this is Afrikaans, guys. Sorry for the South Sudanese. I'll explain it to you guys later. Die seën van die Here, dit maak ryk. En moeitevolle arbeid voeg daar niks by nie. Hey, wat 'n wonderlike skrif. What a wonderful scripture. To translate it into English, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And if I can translate this directly, it would say, your tiresome effort adds nothing to it. Now, all of us know that if we want to make it in life, we have to work, don't we? But the word tiresome or the word mutaful there is the key word. God doesn't want your job to feel mutaful. He doesn't want what you do in everyday life to feel like a drag. He wants you to feel energized by the Holy Spirit in whatever you are doing. And so this scripture is so simple, but I've learned over time, and it took me a long time to actually tap into that effortless flow in what I'm doing. And actually ask the Lord, Lord, give me that strength. Give me that Holy Spirit power to do what I do every day. And that's how you end up rocking up at work with a smile and actually enjoying it every day. And so it's wonderful to access the mutafola, the not mutafola arbeid. I almost said access the mutafola arbeid, but the not mutafola arbeid, eh? So I speak that over every 1 year, that we would live in that unmutafola arbeid. That's a wonderful word, eh? And now we're going to watch some videos, and then our wonderful Pastor Steve will share a wonderful message with us this morning. And also introduce to us our powerful brothers from South Sudan. Enjoy your Sunday.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning. As you can see, we're starting a new series called Overcomers this morning. But before I do that, I wanted to introduce our friends from South Sudan. So can I ask David and Pastor Joseph and Pastor Gabriel to come up here onto the stage here quickly? Come stand up here. So as you know, we've been to South Sudan twice already. And come stand up here, guys. Stand in the light, even as we are in the light. So this is Gabriel, and this is Pastor Joseph. Pastor Joseph has planted 10 churches in South Sudan, and this is Pastor Gabriel, who pastors the one church in Juba, and this is David Manyang. He oversees and facilitates the Voice of Reconciliation, which is a radio station in South Sudan. And so it's such a joy for us to have them with us this morning. So David, why don't you just greet everybody and from South Sudan, and say hello.
Hello, everyone. I am going to give you a new experience. Kudwal, Loidi, where is Andrea?
She's upstairs with the children.
So they usually say that we speak in tongues. But now I'm going to give you a little bit of tongues. Kudwal, Churwan, Loidi.
Wow, it's
that's
difficult.
That's how tongues sounds like. So I'm a young David Mayer. I come from South Sudan. Maybe some of you have not been to South Sudan or might have not heard about South Sudan before. Steve, Michael, and Andrea had a test of how that country looked like. And they came back with good news of how that country looked like. So today we have the real picture of how it looks like. Maybe you were imagining and you could not know. So just to give my colleagues the chance, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 is the summary of what it looks like to be in South Sudan. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed because of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm Pastor Joseph from South Sudan. I'm very happy to be here. Yesterday, when we start coming from the PE to this place, there is something coming in my mind. I say yes. The kingdom of God is true. Amen. How these people take care of us. How these people are open themselves to love us like this. So what was coming in my mind is the kingdom of God. And I was surprised this morning, the way I have seen you, all of you, and even I met African brothers when I entered. It is my pleasure to me. I'm very happy. I'm Pastor Joseph, Steve, and the team. They know me, what I'm doing in South Sudan. I cannot explain it more. They know what I'm doing in South Sudan with these brothers. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm Pastor Gabriel from South Sudan. I'm so much honored and privileged to be here. If I look at myself, a village man from South Sudan, being received and welcomed like a king in South Africa, it so much touched me. And I have no word exactly to explain how happy and joyful I am for the reception you have shown to us. A few years ago, it was not possible in this country for a person of my kind to worship among people of your kind. But because of the precious blood of the Lamb Jesus Christ and the love of God, you have surely demonstrated when I came. I was received like a king. Wow. And I was so much loved and honored. I believe that the gospel of Christ began in the continent of Asia and went to the West, and today is African time to push the agenda of the gospel. And I'm so much happy that South Africa, our model in Africa, is taking a lead in this warfare to preach the gospel of the kingdom for the end time. So I'm so much honored. May the Lord God bless you, and may the Lord God give you courage to continue with this work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my brothers. It's such a joy for us to have them here. I don't know why I always get emotional when I think of my brothers in South Sudan. What they have been through as a nation. I'll be okay. Right. I want to encourage you to take a walk through the Tando House after the service. And just see, for those of you, maybe you saw it before we started the renovation project. I mean, it was totally destroyed. There was feces in almost every room. There was fires made inside the lounge. There was no plumbing, no electrics. The ceilings had holes in them. The floors were ruined. And to go and see what Alfred and his team and John have done in that house is absolutely amazing. So please go and take a walk through the house after the service. It really is a joy. So I've got a joke for you to lighten the mood a bit. A new teacher was trying to make use of her psychology courses. So she starts her class by saying, "Everyone who thinks they're stupid, stand up." After a few moments, little Johnny stands up. The teacher said, "Do you think you're stupid, Johnny?" Johnny replies, "No, ma'am, but I hate to see you standing there all by yourself." So we're starting a series, which I'm really excited about for the next couple of weeks, called Overcomers. Because Jesus has given us everything so that we can live an overcoming life. Which also means that there might be some things in life that you're going to have to overcome. Amen. Amen. And oftentimes as Christians, we take things personally when we experience various trials, when we go through things that are not consistent with what Jesus came to give us in terms of overcomers. And then we take it personally thinking that there is a direct attack on us, rather than understanding that we live in a fallen world with fallen people and that we are going to experience things in life, but that we don't have to become victims in these things. Amen. And that we can come out the other side stronger with a testimony. Amen. all of us are going to have challenges in life, whether it be financial, relational, in our body. We are going to experience stuff in life. And Jesus said that in John 16:33. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, which means that we are going to experience trials. We're going to experience tribulation, but he has given us the victory and that we can live an overcoming life. In 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, which number one is a key to say, listen, you've been born of God. And then it says this, and you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And today I want to talk about overcoming in the name of Jesus. You know, the name of Jesus has tried, or the world system and the enemy has tried to diminish the name of Jesus. It's been used as a curse word to try and take the power out of the name of Jesus. And I want us to go back to basics to recognize that we are Christians and that we carry the name of Jesus. Over and over again in scripture, we read in my name or in Jesus' name or in his name. The devils were powerless because of his name. Demons were cast out in his name. Healing came because of his name. And so point number one, the first key is knowing his name and what his name represents. So if I call somebody by their name, and if I have to give you a name of a person, immediately an image comes to mind, and then you start to think about the characteristics of the person that you are calling by that name. In the dictionary, a name is a word or set of words by which a person or thing is known, addressed, or referred to. So if I call somebody by their name, we are representing the characteristics and what that person is known for. And so in Exodus chapter 3, God comes and he meets with Moses and he starts to tell him about who his name is. In verse 13, it says, and Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So you're sending me, Moses is saying to God, you're sending me, and the people are going to ask, but who are you coming in the name of? Who do you represent? What is his name? Verse 14, and God said to Moses, I'm reading out the Amplified because it's a good description of the Hebrew. God says, I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I will be. And he said, you shall say this to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. And God said also to Moses, this shall you say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and by this name I will be remembered to all generations. And the word I am here is talking about the self-sufficient, self-existent God. Amen. Whose name is above every other name. Hallelujah. And it was interesting as Moses went in to rescue the children of Israel, there were 10 plagues. And if you go and do a Hebrew study on this, the 10 plagues were representative of the 10 gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And each plague was a description of a God and of Jesus or God himself coming and destroying that God. And that's why those 10 plagues were there. And I'm not going to go into all detail about that, but God came and demonstrated that there is no one above his name. There is no God who is above his name. And after he'd gone through, all the children of Egypt had gone through those 10 plagues and the children of Israel had been rescued and Pharaoh eventually let them go and they went through the Red Sea and they came to the other side. Miriam and Moses began to sing this song in Exodus 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord saying, I will sing to the Lord for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider or its chariot has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. The Lord being again the self-existent or eternal Jehovah, the Lord. And that's what the I am, when God describes who he is describing the one who is a self-existent, eternal Jehovah, whose name is above every other name. So he was saying here that his name cannot be defeated. And the Old Testament continues as God begins to reveal himself to the people of Israel. He constantly began to reveal himself through his covenant names. And so these are a good description and a good base for you and I to know who our God is. Because we know him, how he has revealed himself to be through his name and what his name represents. And I want us to quickly look at these seven covenant names and how they were also revealed through the life of Jesus, so that we can know when we approach God, what his name represents to each one of us. And the first one is Jehovah Nissi, which is God is my refuge, or the Lord is my banner. In Exodus 17, 15, it says, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah Nissi. So this is when Moses held up his hands in a battle. When his hands dropped, he needed people to come and keep his hands up. And eventually the battle was won. And then God revealed himself as Jehovah Nissi, which is translated, the Lord is my refuge, or the Lord is my banner. In 1 Corinthians 15, 57, it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about the Lord is my banner of victory. And that was also shown to us through the life of Jesus. He gives us the victory. Secondly, God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and provides. In Genesis 22, 14, it says, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. David referred to this in Psalm 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In 2 Peter 1 verse 3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So if we know God and we have a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, we can know God as our provider. He revealed himself as somebody who will provide for you. Thirdly, Jehovah Rapha, our God who heals us. In Exodus 15, 26, it says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So for those who are in covenant relationship with him, there is a covenant response that I can know that when I come to God, I can know him as Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals my body. In Matthew 9:35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus came to demonstrate this covenant name through his life by healing everybody that came to him. Number four, Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. In Judges 6, 22 to 24. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. And so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Oprah of the Abia's rites. So God is referred to as Jehovah Shalom, which means God is our peace. And Gideon built an altar to him. To prophesy the Savior's birth in Isaiah 9:6, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. In John 14, 27, Jesus said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. So God revealed himself again to Gideon as a covenant-keeping God who is the one who will give you peace, not as the world gives. He leads you beside still waters. Amen? Number five, Jehovah Ra'ah, God our way and shepherd. I'm probably not pronouncing it right. I'm not very good with Hebrew. In Psalm 23:1, God is our way and our shepherd. Jesus said this in John 10, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. See, for every covenant name that God revealed himself in the Old Testament, Jesus came and said, I am the fulfillment of that for you. He gives us direction, discernment in circumstances. He said that you will, when you have the Holy Spirit, you will know things to come because I will lead you and guide you. Number six, Jehovah Tzidkenu, God of righteousness. In Jeremiah 23:6, in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Again, in Psalm 23:3, so many of his covenant names are revealed in Psalm 23. It says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1:30, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus changed the definition of the righteousness referred to in the Old Testament. We now have a righteousness given to us because Jesus lives inside of us. And we are no longer performing for righteousness because we have Jesus as our righteousness. Amen. In Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. So I'm no longer looking to the law for righteousness because Jesus is my righteousness. And then number seven, Jehovah Shammah, God is there or ever present. In Ezekiel 48:35, it says, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is here, or God is the ever-present light, when he is introduced as Jehovah Shammah, in reference to a vast city. In John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, it's interesting that as God reveals himself in the Old Testament through these covenant names, not once does he refer to himself as sovereign. Not once does he refer to himself as the God who destroys. Not once does he refer to himself as the one who tests. But in every single one of his names, they are redemptive in their purpose. And Jesus came, and in his life, the demonstration of his life in showing us who the Father is, not once does he refer to himself as sovereign. Not once does he refer to himself as a destroyer. Not once does he refer to himself as somebody who will test or try you. Yet religion has painted a picture of God that he is those things. Yet God himself, in referring to his name and who he is as a covenant-keeping God, refers to himself as somebody who will rescue, give you victory, provide, heal, give you peace, lead you and direct you, make sure that he's always with you as an ever-present God. Jesus said that, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yet religion wants to paint the picture of him as being somebody else. And that's what it means to take his name in vain. You know, I often have it here in staff meetings, or I'll have discussions with my staff, and then things will come out in other little meetings that the staff have, and teams will make a decision, but then they'll use my name in vain. No, but Pastor Steve said. It's like no matter what the plan was, Pastor Steve's name is superior to whatever the plan was, even if my plan sucked. And I think what happens is we begin to take the name of the Lord in vain when we begin to project who we think he is rather than seeing who he has said he is? Who did Jesus say that he was? 7 times in the New Testament, Jesus also referred to himself as I am. And I'm not going to go through that this morning. But my point number 2 is God has given Jesus the name that is above every other name. In Philippians 2, 8 to 11, it says, after he was found in terms of his outward appearance as a man for a divinely appointed time, he humbled himself still further by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every. Notice what it says, every. So we are going to confess Jesus as Lord, whether it's in this lifetime or the next. Amen. And hopefully you will confess Jesus as Lord in this lifetime, because then it'll be too late. Hello? This is about knowing his name and knowing the person of the name. In Acts chapter 19, there were people who were using the name of Jesus, but it didn't benefit them because they didn't know the person of the name. Verse 11, it says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They thought they were doing a good deed, and they left their car. I almost said it. I'm sorry. See, it's one thing to use the name of the Lord in vain. It's one thing to know whose name you are using. Yes. Not to use the name of the Lord in vain, but to know whose name we have, amen, whose name we carry, that there is power in the name of Jesus. As Christians, you know that we pray in the name of Jesus. Look at me. Nod. You know that we pray in the name of Jesus. We don't just end a prayer with amen or amen. We end a prayer in the name of Jesus because we are praying in the name of somebody who has branded and sealed us with that name. He has given us that name, which leads me to point number 3. We have power of eternity, power of attorney in this name. We have been given power of attorney. We get to use his name. In John 14, 11 to 14, Jesus says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Look at verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and go, whatever you ask in his name. Does it say some things? No. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. I mean, when I say I will do something, that's pretty bold, isn't it? You know, we read these verses of scripture and our religious mind says, no, hang on, it can't be whatever. And then we'll come up with some kind of a thinking regarding, the whatever is limited to X. When he says, I will do it, so why will he do it? So that his Father will be glorified. And then verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I went and I looked in the Greek there about anything. You know what anything means? Anything. And then he says, I will do it. Yet our religious minds can't comprehend this. And we want to limit God to what we think. No, Steve, it can't be like that. Look, I'm just reading what Jesus said, okay? In Matthew 18, 19 to 20, he said, Jesus speaking, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. In Luke 10, 17 to 20, now the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to walk on snakes and scorpions and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Another reference to names. You know, I'll never forget, I was in a work situation and I was working with somebody who was a very angry, bitter person. And so you were dealing with somebody who, whenever you were in their company, projected anger and judgment and criticism and constantly in a bad mood. And a terrible working environment. And oftentimes I would go to work and I would see how this person was responding, and I'd go into the next room and I would take authority over the spirit. See, sometimes when dealing with these kinds of things, we think that we are dealing with a person, not recognizing that we are sometimes dealing with a spirit behind the person. And I would take authority and I would say, no, in Jesus' name, I have authority over you. You're not going to manifest like that while I'm here. And I walk back into the room and the person would be peaceful. You got to recognize the power that you have in the name of Jesus. And oftentimes we are trying to deal with things in the flesh. And the Bible says we do not war according to the flesh. But we are warring against spiritual powers and principalities that we have authority over, not because we are strong, but because he is strong and he has given me the power of eternity to walk in authority of that name. Amen. Amen. Number four, we are saved by this name. In Acts 4:12, there is salvation in and through no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by and in which we must be saved. There is no other name that can bring you renewal. No other name can help you get born again and experience a new life. And you can come with all sorts of transcendent language about the divine and the higher life. If it's not the name of Jesus, you will never experience salvation. Number five, we are forgiven in his name. Acts 10:43. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Man, there's so many people telling you that you can receive forgiveness of sins through a whole bunch of other spiritual gymnastics. The Bible is clear. You will only receive forgiveness in his name. Number six, we are healed in his name. In Mark 16, 17 and 18, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I've seen this over and over and over again. I was in the DRC once. And we walked into this hospital and there was a man lying on a blanket, emaciated, lying there on the edge of death. And as I walked into the room, I just sensed that the presence of the Lord was there to heal. And all I did was put my hands on him and go, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I got up and I walked out. 2 days later, our crusade director said, who went to the hospital? I thought I was in trouble. And then he invited the man up. And he said, this man, the doctors had given up on him. But just a simple prayer in the name of Jesus raised him up from death. I was in Zambia doing a crusade there, and we had a power tent at the, behind the crusade where people who would manifest demons, who were vexed by demons, they would bring them into this tent. And I went in there one day, and I was fresh out of Bible school, and there was this lady, young teenager, writhing on the floor there. And I went down to lay my hands on her, and she sprung up at me with these big eyes and this deep voice coming out of her. And I didn't even have a chance to respond, but the Spirit of the Lord just came out of me and said, come out in the name of Jesus. And she fell over like she was dead. And a couple of seconds later, she stood up completely delivered and healed. There is power in the name of Jesus. And you have been given authority by Jesus himself to carry the name of Jesus. And instead of trying to deal with things in the flesh, you've got to recognize that you are a spiritual being having a human experience. You are not a human being having a spiritual experience. And because you have the greater one living inside of you and you have the name of Jesus, God has said, you can use my name. Don't use it in vain, but use my name when you are going through trials, when you need to overcome, call upon my name, because this is what my name represents. And those are those seven covenant names. He is my refuge, my provider. If you need refuge, you can call on the covenant name of God, that he will be your refuge. If you need provision, he said, you can call upon my name. I am your healer. I am your provider. If you need peace this morning, you can call on his covenant name as the one who gives you peace. If you need a shepherd to protect you, to guide you, to lead you, you can call upon his name. If you need a sense of righteousness apart from your works, you can call upon him. If you need somebody to be an ever-present God and Father this morning, he has revealed himself to say, listen, I have made a covenant with my son that is unbreakable. And if you are in him, then all of these covenant benefits are yours. In 1 John 5, and I'm closing with this before we have communion. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you born of God this morning?
Yes, sir.
Then you can overcome. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, believing. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Why don't you take out your communion elements this morning? If you don't have communion elements, won't you just slip up your hand quickly for me? And somebody will put some communion elements into your hand. Just lift up your hand. Jesus said this. He said that we partake of communion and we do this in remembrance of him. This morning, maybe circumstances are overwhelming you and you have forgotten who your covenant-keeping God is this morning. And you have forgotten whose name is the name that is above every other name. And this morning, I would love for you to just remember. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. This is when you now begin to remember that God has made a vow to his son, Jesus, that these covenant names, that which I represent and which you came to demonstrate to every human being on earth, is yours, and that you have access to a covenant-keeping God in his name, the name that is above every other name. Can we have some music? And Jesus came and he said this. He said, my body was broken for you so that you could have health and provision. And so Jesus, we come remembering you this morning. Remembering that you are faithful and true. That you are a covenant-keeping God. And so we thank you, Lord, that as we partake this morning, that your body was broken, that we might receive health, blessing, provision, healing, and life. And so we partake this morning, Jesus, with gratitude in our hearts that you will never fail us. In your wonderful name. And Lord Jesus, as we partake of your blood this morning, it's because of your blood that we are saved. It's because of your blood that we are redeemed. It's because of your blood that we've been made righteous and we stand forgiven. So in your name, Jesus, we partake of this, recognizing that there is forgiveness in no other name. And so we receive that this morning with gratitude in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Won't you stand to your feet this morning? Won't you close your eyes? Bow your heads. Maybe you've seen God as being the one who is the source of your problems, or your destroyer, or the one testing you. You have an opportunity to repent this morning, change your mind. To say, Father, forgive me for seeing you as somebody who you haven't described yourself to be. And I choose to believe that you are my Redeemer, my refuge, my healer, my provider, my peace, my banner of love, my shepherd, my righteousness, and my ever-present Father. Thank you, Father, that I can come to you and run boldly to you, and that you would never fail me. And so, Father, we thank you this morning that we can receive you, Jesus. We thank you for your name, which is the name that is above every other name. Jesus, in your name, thank you that I can speak healing into bodies right now in the name of Jesus. For those that have been struggling with pain, we just speak life. We speak to your body. We say, pain, leave in the name of Jesus. I come against flu symptoms in the name of Jesus. Those who have been struggling with addiction, thank you that the name of Jesus breaks every addiction this morning. Those who are struggling mentally, I come against depression in the name of Jesus. And I say, in the name of Jesus, be free. The name that is above every other name. Be free in the name of Jesus. Those that are needing a financial breakthrough, in the name of Jesus, breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. Those who need peace this morning, receive peace in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that your name is the name above every other name. And we call upon that name because there is salvation, deliverance, healing, provision, peace in no other name but the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that we can overcome because of your name. Amen. Amen. We have a ministry team that would love to pray with you here on my right-hand side. If you'd like someone to pray with you this morning, always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved of God. Amen. Enjoy some coffee with us. We'd love to fellowship with you and have a great week in His name. Amen.